In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The Jake is not happy edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Joined as always by my co-host, Ross Uglum. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. And of course, my name is Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley. Ross, I'll ask you how you're doing, but I need to tell you right out of the gates, man, I need some therapy today. I need some Ross Uglum therapy because I am not doing well. But how are you?
I'm good, man. Like I mentioned yesterday, and I think Aaron Nagler had a very similar sentiment after this game, to be honest. Like, they should have won probably, but at the same time, they played like they handed in like a D plus or a C minus, as far as, you know, defensive game plan, turnovers, just a number of things. And they still almost beat the number five team. Probably gonna, I would guess, after beating the Packers, might move up. They still beat the number five DVOA team in the league, or almost beat, excuse me, lost in a game expiring play to an elite team on the road. I mean, the Colts aren't good. They're elite. They're a top four, top five team in the league. They're frankly ranked ahead of Green Bay by total team DVOA. And on a neutral field, I think Green Bay wins that game. They had a bunch of things not go their way. They played poorly and we're still very much in it with one of the better teams in the league. I struggle to freak out.
I'm not freaking out because like everything you just laid out is correct. And you talk about everything still right in front of this team. This wasn't a playoff game that they lost, you know, that we got to, you know, sit and think about it for 6 months. This is just a regular season game that they lost to a good team. Here's why I struggle with this loss still, and it's because of exactly what you just laid out. The Colts were supposed to be this great defensive team. You know, the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour could have taken another positive step this weekend, and ultimately it really did. Rodgers did what he wanted to do against this team, regardless of what the final score was. That first half was excellent. You know, Rockison made a really nice play, probably shouldn't have thrown that ball. But that's really the only error you can point to in the first half for Rodgers. Third quarter was hot garbage, and he needs some of the blame for that as well. But here's what really bugs me is all of that. You know, you have this great team that's supposed to shut down the Packers, and the Packers absolutely went in there and punched them square in the face in that first half and said, hey, we're the Green Bay mother effing Packers, and we are not going to lose to the Colts. Okay, I don't care that you were a top-ranked defense. We are here. We are a legitimate Super Bowl contender this year. And not only that, Aaron Rodgers, let me put my name right in the center of this MVP conversation with A, either just completely dissecting this team, or B, marching down the field on that last drive and having an MVP moment, punching the ball in the end zone, winning the game. And what really kills me is the other name that's smack dab in the middle of the MVP conversation is Patrick Mahomes, who almost to a T did exactly what we would have wanted Aaron Rodgers to do yesterday at the end of the game. Go just marching down the field and being Superman and winning the game for his team. Does that matter ultimately, Ross? No, it doesn't at all. It's totally just my personal feelings. It's totally just me being in my feelings, having to live in Kansas City and have to read the my buddy Kent tweeting out Patrick LeVon Mahomes, one man MVP race. It's like, bugs me. Because it's not, one, it's not true. He probably is the MVP right now. But I just wanted to have that signature win for the Green Bay Packers and that signature MVP moment for Aaron Rodgers. And it just seems like it was right in front of them and they just didn't take it. They just failed to grasp it and let it slip through their fingers. So that's just how I feel. Those are my feelings, and I'm a little bit in my feels. I want to talk about the defense, Ross, and I want to ask you a question. I asked Jacob Westendorf this question last night over at our buddies, Game On Wisconsin Roundtable. And all three phases of the game, of the team yesterday, deserve probably about equal credit for losing this game. But obviously the defense is always going to get the short end of the stick. And I'm going to kind of do that again right now, because you look at this team defensively. These are guys I would say are blue chip defenders, well above average. I think the Packers have four of them on defense. I think clearly Jaire Alexander is a blue chip player. I don't think there's any debate about that. Za'Darius Smith, Kenny Clark, and honestly, Adrian Amos has been playing safety as good as anybody in the league. So you got four guys right there. That is that makes up more than a third of your starting defense. And then you have guys that are emerging or good, average to above average NFL talent. And you have those guys, I would say, you have Rashawn Gary, who is emerging. I think Kamal Martin is in that category. I think Christian Kirksey has been playing really well. I think Kevin King, when healthy, is in that conversation. Quite frankly, Josh Jackson's been in that conversation. Darnell Savage has been in that conversation, been playing really well. So those are guys that I think you can trot out there and say, we're comfortable and confident in these players. So that's about eight guys I just listed. So are you telling me then that of the 11 on the field, that your Tyler Lancasters, your Dean Lowry's, your Preston Smith's, are they that bad? Because it just, for the life of me, Ross, I can't figure it out anymore. And I think I know what the answer is, but it kills me that they have this type of talent and they continue to just trot out mediocrity at best at the defensive side of the ball. So laying out what I just said, Ross, give me some therapy here. Why are the Packers so bad? And can they fix it with the talent they have? Can this be a fixable issue this year?
I mean, are they going to fire the defensive coordinator? Because that's where I'm at. I was there after the Tampa game. I'm still there. I don't think this is a fixable issue because of the flat out fact that this guy doesn't seem like he's going to change. I mean, Mike Pettine is showing absolutely no reason to believe that he's going to change the soft way that he calls the defense. And ultimately, I think that's what you're worried about when you say, can it get fixed? It's like, okay, how? And the reasons don't make sense unless there's a change at defensive coordinator. And I don't know, like, I can't think of a team that made a deep playoff run changing a coordinator mid-year. I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened. But I can't think of one. I can't remember one. And it doesn't seem like Matt LaFleur's style, frankly. I think if you're a Packers fan, unfortunately, the change is likely to come after after the season. And likely, obviously, if you're firing your defensive coordinator, it's likely to come after a season that didn't result in a world championship.
And that's where I'm at. And I'm doing some research right now because I want to say it happened recently. Someone fired their OC about this time of year. And I could be wrong. I don't know. But I'm with you, though. That is the answer to the question. Is I think it's fair to say that this Packers team has talent on defense. And you see it in splashes. I think the other scapegoat, I guess, is consistency. Some of the guys that I just listed aren't always making those splash plays. Like, they can't.
Well, they're not always being put in the position to make plays. I mean, here's where I'm at with it, and this is kind of the answer to the crux of your question, which is, look, they have three flat-ass blue chippers. Flat-ass. Za'Darius Smith, Kenny Clark, and Jaire Alexander are not only blue chippers, they're blue chippers at destructive positions for the opposing offense. If you said, Ross, I'll give you three top four guys at their position, where do you want them? I'm probably going to say edge rusher, free safety, and corner. I'm not that far off from disruptive pass rushing one tech. Like the free safety, that, you know what I mean? Like, I would take a prime Earl Thomas or, you know, some sort of elite cover one, cover three free safety rather than Kenny Clark. But I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about it. Like, I understand the argument on the other side, and they have the other two guys. They have the blue chip pass rusher, and they have the best corner in football. You have to be able to coordinate a defense that has those pieces. And as I've mentioned, Rashawn Gary, not a bum. Montrevious Adams against the run, not a bum. Then on the other side, Kingsley-Kiki against the pass, not a bum. You have one very functional defensive rotation at that other spot. Kamal Martin, not a bum. Preston Smith up and down, but not a bum. Kevin King / Josh Jackson, not a bum. Adrian Amos is the last couple weeks has looked almost in that blue chip category, certainly in the Pro Bowl category. You just can't have as many upper tier quality players as the Packers have on D and be this bad. And I even think, you know, as far as like super below average starters, you know, maybe at this point, I guess you could talk about Dean Lowry or you could talk about Christian Kirksey, but those spots don't even matter that much to a good defense. I struggle with it, man. I really do.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
No, you finished what I was going to say. Is you can talk about consistency, but that also falls on coaching and being in a spot. I mean, Matt LaFleur said it today, and you can tell he's fed up. Like, as he should be, as any high school level football coach knows, like, hey, it's 3rd and 15. What the hell are we doing playing 13 yards off the ball, you know, and backpedaling to 18? Like, yes, you're soft. You're like the under coverage is not supposed to be that deep. But when you're basically training them the entire season to say, hey, don't get beat deep. Like, that's naturally what they're going to do. That falls on coaching. And this is not just like a one game thing. This is something we've watched all season, Ross. And like, I'm at the point where I don't think this team can win a Super Bowl with Mike Pettine as your defensive coordinator. They can, but the ball is going to need to bounce their way two or three times to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, to beat, you know, to even to like beat the Colts yesterday. That they needed the ball to bounce their way a couple times on defense just to give their offense a shot, because they took the ball away twice. You know, like, I have never seen a team where the ball just flutters 20 yards in the air down the field and it falls harmlessly to the ground because there's no one in the middle of the field. Like, how does that happen? It's bizarro world to me. So my thing is, if you know hey, my patent's not it. Do something, right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? Let's say, I don't even care who you promote. Promote Mike Smith, promote Jerry Gray, promote Ross Uglum. I don't give a damn. Like, promote somebody, because at least you did something. If you promote somebody and in 3-4 weeks, they're still just as bad, whatever. Yeah, you can at least say, well, we got rid of the guy, because honestly, you can't get much worse. You know, and you talk about what Pettine is doing. It's not like he's dialing up these weird blitz packages or like some weird coverages that aren't working. He's calling a very basic game. He just doesn't do it at the right time. His like, it's like he's not watching the game. Like, he's like, well, just cover three. Yeah, just get in cover. Let's just get in dime. Like, opening up the second half where you absolutely dominated. Like, I thought the defense actually played one of their best halves of football in the first half against the run. And they did a good job. And so what do they do in the second half? Come out and dime for five plays in a row? Let them march the ball down the field to the 35 without even being a wet paper bag? Like, come on. Like, this is getting to the point where it's beyond ridiculous. And I don't like being – I hate being the fire the coach guy, but it just seems like he's almost checked out. And the only thing, I guess, for us that – and Jacob and I talked about this last night is so far Matt LaFleur has been money on who he's hired as assistant coaches. I mean, you talk about bringing in Mike Smith. Talk about bringing in Jerry Gray. Talk about Adam Stenovich has been an incredible hire for this staff. Especially because when he brought him in, he had, you know, legendary James Campen was here. Everybody was upset about that. And rightfully so. James Campen is a hell of a coach. But what Adam Stenovich has been able to do with this offensive line this year, the way they've had to shuffle guys around, the way that he's had to get rookie, you know, 6th-round draft picks ready to play and play at a high level, which shout out to John Runyon Jr. Nobody on this podcast is surprised that he's a stud. But still, he's done an excellent job.
I want to expand on that, actually. I want to expand on that because, I mean, my God, you talk about a home run. It looks like they have another above-average starter in the 6th round. I mean, this isn't like John Runyon after sprinkling 3 years of development dust on him. He looks ready to go now, which is nuts. I mean, to me, it's absolutely nuts for him to be just like rocking and rolling and coming into games cold. I wonder what he'd look like if he actually started a game. I think it absolutely opens things up for next year's draft. And, you know, for a post Corey Linsley life, do you have — what I would do, obviously, is I would have Runyon and Elton play guard and then have Lucas Patrick play center. And I think you just move on with your life with, you know, Billy and Bakhtiari as the tackles. And then you draft more developmental offensive linemen. But I don't know if it's that Stenovich is really, really good or if it's that, you know, obviously the GM took lessons from his predecessor on how to identify the crap out of functional offensive linemen.
Yeah, and I think it's probably both, right? And you look at Goody. Like, if you can point to one thing that he's been really good at, it's offensive line. I mean, he brought in Billy Turner, who everybody was upset about last year, but the dude's just gone out and been a rock solid right tackle. Can probably play — the two guys I'm going to point out are Billy Turner and Elton Jenkins, two guys that legitimately can probably play all 5 spots. And the flexibility that gives this team going into this offseason is invaluable, with guys like Corey Linsley probably gone. You know, it was Goody that decided to extend Lucas Patrick's. He knew he had something there. Obviously, he drafted Elton Jenkins. So, like, if there's one thing you can hang your hat on with Brian Gutekunst and say, this guy is good at this, it is absolutely identifying offensive line talent, because – like you said, it looks like they got another one in John Runyon Jr. So if there's one thing that the Packers can say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do it well, that's probably — outside of identifying quarterback talent, I would say if I want a GM that's good at this, I want him to be able to identify offensive linemen, because that is again, outside of quarterback play, which honestly no one's good at, like that's a crapshoot. Outside of quarterback play, if you can't identify offensive linemen, you're not going to have a job in this league very long, because that is the hardest position to put five functional starters out there. And honestly, I mean, and bringing in Rick Wagner, that was a great signing. You know, say what you want about him. He's an excellent backup tackle with the group they have, with Billy Turner's ability to kick over to left tackle, with Elton Jenkins' ability to kick over to left tackle. Having Ricky Wagner come off the bench and be able to play quality right tackle football for you. I mean, the Packers legitimately have four guys that you would be comfortable rolling out there. That's unheard of in this league. So, you know, props to Goody for being able to do that. And then you still have, we don't know what they have in Jake Hansen. We don't know what they have in Adam Stepanich, or what's that guy's name? The Indiana kid.
Stepaniak.
So, yep. But with Goody's track record, I'm excited to watch those guys play next year. I'm excited to watch them get a year of development in. So,
I will never be, this is going to sound nuts, I will never be as amped for any preseason as I am for next year, because whoever the draft class and the undrafted free agent group for next year is, then imagine like that group plus never having seen Jordan Love, AJ Dillon in a featured role, never having seen Stepaniak, never having seen Jake Hansen. And I get, obviously, you know, that there are plenty of fans that just don't care. Like I'll never forget starting that podcast with my best friend Ryan and Jacob Westendorf, and Ryan just kind of being like, I need you to know that I'm coming from the perspective of loving the Green Bay Packers more than life itself, but not really giving a shit about guy 38 to 53 on the roster, and certainly not guy 53 to 75 on the roster. And I'm like, well, that's where I come in, because I would like to know the potential of every single one of these guys. And then, of course, the featured attraction, man, Jordan Love. Like, getting to watch Jordan Love actually throw a football in a green and yellow uniform, that first preseason game is going to be must-see TV.
Yeah, I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be nervous for him. And you didn't even mention getting to watch the laser show, which is just an added bonus, you know? So I get it. And something Jacob and I talked about last night too, going back to the game, because we can definitely get off the rails here if we want to, because I am probably equally as geeky as you, where I could tell you who the 78th guy on the 2013 roster was in the preseason. But looking at, you know, two things, I guess, when you talk about draft philosophy for this Packers team, I guess we can hit on this, because look at the way I think there has been, and Jacob actually pointed this out, and I think he's right. When you look at the way this Packers team believes in building a team, I think there's been a little bit of a shift since LaFleur and Goody came in, because they've only had one guy that was an opening day one from Jump Street starter in Darnell Savage. I guess you could say Chris Barnes, but that was not their plan. And this is a team that is very much drafting guys and giving them a year, giving them 2 years before they're really unleashing them into the starting lineup. And that's not something that we always saw in the past with these Packers teams. Sometimes out of necessity that they were playing rookies, but I think if this team has it their way, they love sitting those guys. And another team that's been able to do that really successfully that should encourage you is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've always been that way. You know, I remember when Bud Dupree is one of the best pass rushers in the league right now. He was kind of on that Rashawn Gary developmental track where he came off the bench, he rushed the passer, now he's a stud. You know, so that's interesting to kind of look at. And the second thing that I want to talk about in that game yesterday, and I'm just going to throw this because this is just fanboy in me wondering, why don't we do that? And you look at how the Colts are not going to sneak Phillip Rivers. They're just not going to do it. And the Packers probably aren't going to sneak Aaron Rodgers either, which I honestly don't hate. I don't hate that when it's fourth and inches and you got to have it. Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to throw Rodgers out there and get it. But you saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes last year. Aaron Rodgers has a history of being injured. I totally get why they don't do that. Why not bring in Tim Boyle, who's a young, strong, athletic dude, to just come in and sneak the ball? It doesn't really matter if you know that it's coming. We saw that yesterday. You see that across the league. You line them up. A QB sneak is incredibly hard to stop. Ross, what are your thoughts on that? Is that me just being like, hey, they do that, why don't we do that?
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or an overbearing parent screaming words of wisdom from the stands, fewer than 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether it be 30 years of Hall of Fame QB play in Green Bay or 30 years of quarterback torture in Chicago, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for watching football.
I don't know. I mean, I think I can be angrier about Petten with the Jacoby Brissett stuff. Like, that should have been cover zero, no question. Like, there was no reason to respect the pass option on that stuff, but whatever. They actually did, I think, get it for a loss once when it counted, so maybe I'll quit complaining so much. I think that kind of signals what you're doing, though. I think you still want kind of the illusion that you might not be doing that. You miss Randall Cobb in situations like that where, you know, it's a little confusing. Like, if they had an XQB gadgety wide receiver, that'd be fun. But I think you just don't take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. And if you do bring in Tim Boyle, you know, and they know it's a sneak. I know, like, Brady got to the point where it was pretty much a guarantee, but ultimately, like, yeah, I don't think it would work like that. I can't go there with you. They always talked about, you know, they talked about that with Cobb specifically. Well, why isn't there Wildcat stuff in from Cobb? The answer was always, you want to take the ball out of Rodgers' hands? Is that, you know, do you want to put in Tim Boyle? And no disrespect to Tim Boyle, but why? You know, I get it.
Second guess, because they were so bad on and one situations yesterday. But if you look at this team throughout the course of the year, that's a deviation away from, like, what the normal is for them. They've actually been really good on third down. So you would expect just that to continue, because that's been a strength of this team. Now, these and short situations, though, that I would rather see this team in third and five, third and six, third and four than third and one, because it just seems like they get in their own way. And I almost wish that Matt LaFleur would just treat it like third and five. Like, just you need a yard, but just go get yards. Quit getting in your own head. Quit jamming everybody in there and trying to pound it, because they're not good at it. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I mean, I love Elgton Jenkins. He's not a road grader yet. He might develop that functional strength as part of, you know, a professional strength and conditioning program, but right now he is an elite pass blocker, which makes him an elite guard, but he is not a road grader at this point. That's not what he is. So I don't love that stuff. Lindsley's fine. Lucas Patrick is the antithesis of a road grader. And so this third and one single back stuff up the gut is just not the deal. It's not what makes any sense, in my opinion, for them to try and get done. You're right. If they treated third and one like third and four, I think they'd convert more of them, especially because you get into situations, you know, where I think the opposing team is getting ready for a run up the gut. You know, you're going to get third and one defensive personnel probably on the field.
Yeah. And I think having Alan Lazard back is going to be helpful on those third down situations, because if the ball is going in the air, you know, Rodgers is going to stare at 17 until it's absolutely not there, which I totally get. And, you know, the third and whatever comebacks to MVS, like, they just need to stop. And I just said too, like, I'm in on MVS. Like, I've been hard on him in the past, and it's easy to be hard on him, but my goodness, if he has not responded every single time, he's been in the dirt. And so I'm excited to see what he's going to do next week versus Chicago. But I just don't think right now that's where his skill set lies. You know, it doesn't lie as, you know, on 3rd and 8, running an 11-yard comeback. Like, that's just not what he does well. And I think that's what Alan Lazard does really well. That's what Davante Adams does everything well. But getting 13 back out there is going to be a lot, is going to be very helpful and beneficial for this offense. So moving on to next week, we got the Chicago Bears coming to Lambeau Field. The Bears are reeling. The Bears don't have a quarterback that's healthy, or they do, but either if they are healthy, I'm not sure that they have a quarterback. But their defense, still pretty good, Russ. What are your thoughts, level of concern, level of confidence, early in the week going into Green Bay next week to play the Chicago Bears?
Oh, it's really high. The only thing that would scare me would be awful, awful weather again. And I haven't looked at the forecast. You know, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, like, terrible weather absolutely does close the gap between good teams and not good teams. Right now, yeah, looks fine. 43, partly cloudy. It's going to be cold, but the wind's under control. It's under control. Eddie Jackson, probably Akeem Hicks, I don't know. He got hurt, obviously, during the Vikings game. We don't know anything as far as moving forward yet, because we're recording this on a Monday night. But if Akeem Hicks is out and Eddie Jackson is on the COVID list, that's your second and third best defensive player. And I don't think there's really any debate about that. I think Khalil Mack is the guy, but Akeem Hicks and Eddie Jackson are incredibly important. I think they've been getting by at that other safety spot with Tashawn Gibson, maybe. But he's nothing to write home about. And I don't think Eddie Jackson's backup is either. I like Jalen Johnson a ton, but Rodgers still eats rookie cornerbacks for breakfast. And if they're not going to follow Adams around with Fuller, they're going to have a problem, because Buster Screen's terrible. And ultimately, that offense, I mean, my God, like, you were watching that Vikings game thinking, if Cordero or Anthony Miller don't score on special teams, they're not going to score. And I get it. Like, the Packers just gave up 34 points to the 18th best offense in football. But the Colts are on a different stratosphere than the Bears on offense. And whatever, Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, Tyler Bray. I think Tyler Bray brings another level of suck potentially into the fold. But this Packers offense isn't going to fear this Bears D. I mean, the Bears aren't significantly better than the Colts in any way on defense, and that's with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, and I think Khalil Mack is the guy that you highlight and you star, but you just backed up the Brinks truck for David Bakhtiari, and you expect him to do what he does.
That'll be Billy Turner's responsibility, but I get what you're saying.
Sure, but even so, Billy Turner has been lights out this year. So, like, yep. Really what I'm saying is the Packers' offensive line being the number one, pass-blocking efficiency offensive line, like, that's just not something, you should really be worrying about going into this game. This could be a get-right game for this defense, I hope. The only thing I think you could point to with this defense is Mike Pettine being Mike Pettine and saying, well, we'll give you the easy stuff. Even Mitchell Trubisky can take the easy stuff most of the time, unless it's to the left. But yeah, this should be a get right game for this Packers. I mean, there's not a game left on the schedule, Ross, that I think you look at and say, wow, just no way, no how the Packers are winning that game. The closest thing to that is Tennessee, just because Derrick Henry is going to freak people out, and rightfully so. But if Derrick Henry doesn't go for 250, I have a hard time seeing the Titans win that game. Could happen, though. But I think, just moving forward, everything is still right in front of this Packers team. Tampa Bay's got a tough one tonight, and they've got a tough one next week. The Saints still need to play Kansas City. The Seahawks are still going to do Seahawks things. So as far as the number one seed, it's right there, for this Packers team. So, Ross, I don't have anything else. We got a good little episode in today. Thank you for the therapy session. I feel much better moving forward. And so, Ross, thanks for joining me, bud. And guys, thank you for listening. And as always, go Pack, go.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.